Hi, Congressman Huffman.
Larry, how are you?
I am well. Thank you for asking. I want to apologize in advance for I feel like I kind of let you down this week. I spent a lot of time this morning trying to read the news and come up with good questions, and I did not. So I hope you'll...
Well, we'll just wing it. Donald Trump doesn't prepare for his summit with Kim Jong-un. Why should we prepare for anything?
Brilliant. That's an excellent point. It's all about feel.
Yeah. We'll know in the first minute whether your show's going to suck or not.
All right. Well, then with that, we'll proceed. It is my honor and great privilege to be joined on the phone by our Congressman Jared Huffman. Happy Tuesday. Thanks for calling in.
Good to be with you.
I've got some questions about the big news, the North Korea summit, and I suppose that's a lot of what's going on in D.C. today. But we'll get to that in a minute. So other than the North Korea summit, what's going on that we need to know about?
Well, this week there's a whole bunch of opioid bills making their way through the House of Representatives. It looks like the Republicans have figured out this is an important issue in a lot of their districts, and so they are sort of carving up and handing out little small opioid-related bills to all their vulnerable members. So it's a little bit of politics. Also, obviously, a very serious issue, and so I'll certainly look to support anything that's positive and good on this issue, because we got problems in Humboldt County and other parts of my district.
Do those take I'm sorry to interrupt. Do those take the form primarily of like money for treatment programs?
So we've already put a lot of that on the table. Earlier this year, we secured $6 billion over 2 years of new opioid-related funding. But what we really need is long-term commitments so that communities are going to know that they'll have these resources and they can make plans and take a long-term approach to solving this problem. I don't think we're going to see that in any of these bills. This will be a lot of small steps.
All right. Anything else before we move on to the next segment?
Well, just the big issues of North Korea, the G7, all of the turmoil that Trump seems to be creating with our allies, the strange posturing with adversaries, and then a brand new policy on those seeking asylum who've been victims of domestic abuse. Those are kind of the big issues this week.
Well, then let's move on to the summit. What's your reaction to the outcome of the North Korea summit?
You know, I want to continue to wish for success. It would obviously be great for our country and for the world if we could cut a deal that denuclearizes the Korean Peninsula, that brings North Korea into the community of nations. But I have this nagging suspicion that we are being manipulated here and that none of this is real. Just from the way Donald Trump has approached this without any details whatsoever, mostly just sort of a highly staged appearances and sensational statements, not even bringing nuclear experts, scientists, and serious diplomatic teams with him, not preparing. And there's reason to believe that this is all a show. And that would be a real tragedy. That would actually set us back in terms of taking care of our security interests and making the Korean Peninsula safer, especially if Trump was so craven as to change our security posture in Korea just to score a short-term PR victory. Now, that could have some really negative long-term implications, and I'm worried about that.
It's hard to know at this point. I mean, you can look at the document that was signed, and it obviously does not have any real substance to it. So you could look at it as a potentially encouraging first step, the opening step in dialogue. But it's the way that it's being presented by the administration as this historic document doesn't seem to hold up to me. I don't know.
It's nowhere close to that yet. One has to be willing to kind of suspend disbelief and trust Donald Trump to believe that this is real and heading in a good direction. And it's hard to trust Donald Trump. Let's be frank about it.
I mean, I guess the next steps are now in the hands of the State Department. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, fleshing out the definition of denuclearization, a rather critical point, explaining how this is all going to be verified and implemented. I mean, we got nothing by way of detail. And the irony is, this is a president that just walked away from the JCPOA, a serious non-proliferation agreement involving Iran's nuclear program that did have all of this detail, the most robust inspection and verification measures we've ever seen in an arms control agreement. He said that wasn't good enough, but now he's celebrating this thing that looks like it could have been written on a cocktail napkin.
Is it the case that there's really not much involvement in this process from the Hill and won't be unless unless whatever ultimate agreement is takes the form of a treaty?
Well, it depends. You've got a bunch of U.S. senators demanding that this be presented in the form of a treaty. I don't know that I've heard Trump specifically commit that that would, in fact, be the case. And I think, you know, as with so many things, you can't really take to the bank anything he says on this. He's going to do, you know, what he decides that he wants to do in terms of the form of this agreement. And it may be presented as a treaty, which, you know, if it's thin, if it doesn't have really robust verification inspections, it's not going to pass. Or he may see that scenario coming and decide not to present it. You just never know.
This is a sort of a side question, but I was wondering about this earlier. I think I know the answer to this, but I want to see what you say. So you mentioned the Iran deal that did not go through Congress as a treaty. If it had and had been ratified, it would have been much more difficult, if not impossible, for Trump just to rip it up the way that he did. So why didn't the Obama administration bring it?
Simple reason, the Republicans were not going to give Obama that victory. And they would not have passed that as a treaty if it were presented that way. Okay. So, my understanding is there was never really any serious thought to even styling it as a treaty. Because this was Mitch McConnell versus Barack Obama. And the operating protocol was not to let him have any wins, whether it's a Supreme Court justice or an arms control treaty.
Let's move on to the elections of last week. What's your reaction to how those went?
Yeah, I think California came through pretty well. I still think this top two system is chaotic. I don't think it has delivered the change and reform that was promised. And it took us to the brink of having certain races where Democrats would have been shut out in the fall. We do have some races where Republicans are shut out in the fall in a few cases around the state of California. And so both sides, both parties, really don't like this very much. And the other parties that don't like it are the third and fourth parties, the Green parties, the Libertarians of Peace and Freedom. They never have a chance under this system to have one of their candidates on the ballot in the general election. So I really would like to get back to party primaries with nominees that advance to the fall election. And we can certainly open it up as an open primary so voters can cross over and vote in whatever primaries they want. I think that would have the effect of maybe rewarding candidates that have broader appeal. That's kind of what the top two was supposed to do. But it won't create the kind of chaos that we've seen from this system.
If we were to make changes to the primary system, would that have to be done through the initiative?
It would. Yeah, we'd have to. The legislature could put it on the ballot, or someone could go out and gather the, whatever it is, 600,000 signatures or so. Remember how this got on the ballot in the first place, because a single state senator, in return for his budget vote, demanded that it go on the ballot. So it wasn't like there was some, you know, great grassroots process that brought us this system.
And then lastly, I know you love it when I read a quote and ask for your reaction to it. So I have one of those right now.
Good.
Mitt Romney, who of course is running for Senate in Utah recently, predicted that Trump would easily win a second term. And he said that was in part because of the improving economy, but also because, quote, our Democratic friends are likely to nominate someone who is really out of the mainstream of American thought and will make it easier for a president who's presiding over a growing economy, close quote. And as someone who occupies the more progressive wing of the Democratic Party, I'm wondering what your reaction is to this.
Oh, well, Mitt Romney, you know, he's obviously trying to navigate now a Republican primary that he didn't expect to have. And he's trying to find some strained way to seem like he's on the same side as Donald Trump, even though you know that in his heart of hearts, he can't stand Donald Trump. So that's about as close as he can come to telling the Republican base in Utah that he's not going to be a threat to Donald Trump, to predict that Trump will be reelected. And he's, of course, qualified that prediction by saying it's because he thinks the Democrats will nominate someone out of the mainstream. And he's, you know, referring to a Bernie Sanders or an Elizabeth Warren. So it's pretty thin stuff. That's like the best he can do. And with Mitt, the flipping and flopping we've come to expect from him, I just don't know why anyone listens to it. He's probably going to win his race. He's probably going to be in the U.S. Senate, and he's probably going to disappoint the hell out of all of us, you know, in the same way that he bowed and scraped before Trump when he was being humiliated under the pretext of being considered as Secretary of State.
That is all of our time, as I see on the clock. So, as always, thank you very, very much for calling in.
Well, thanks for having me. We'll see you next time.
All righty. Bye-bye.